All right, you're green.
Thank you.
All right, go get them, Kermit.
All right, thank you. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 51. Thank you. Very familiar passage. Brother preached on Jonathan. Now I'm going to tag team him and preach on David. And actually, if you want to know the truth, this passage is just a look into David's heart. Really not even in the context of what I'm going to be preaching, but it's a good start. I'm going to be preaching on this thought, something about David. There was something very different, very special about David. We're going to look at that here in a moment. I don't know what all it is. I don't claim to have all the truth about this. But there's one thing I know about David that I see in the Scripture, and I believe most Christians do not have it, and we need it. We need to pray that God would give it to us and give us that same spirit and attitude. Out of all the people I thought I would see here tonight, I did not think I'd see you, Brother Joe Kyle Hicks. Man, it's good to see you, brother. I got one thing to say. White horse preacher. Nobody else knows what I'm talking about, but he does. Brother, would you pray for me? Pray for the message tonight.
Father God, we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for saving us.
Amen.
Your blood across Calvary, God. We're a needy people. We need your presence. We need your power. God, the darkness of this world is
the yes. Help us.
We begin to believe the things of God like they have. God, what a great day to be alive.
Amen. Amen.
To be your servants.
Amen.
In the midst of all this darkness around us.
Yes. Yes, amen.
A few moments ago, Lord, how can we love touch a world we've never touched? God,
amen.
Help us to love sinners. God, we need a touch from heaven for ourselves.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
God, you help us today. You, Brother Dennis, now we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to please take your Bibles and look there in Psalm chapter 51 tonight. The first thing I want you to notice before we ever get into the text, I want you to look at the superscription above that. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. This is a prayer of David. And this is a thing where David's getting right after he's committed that gross sin, having Uriah killed, and the adulterous affair with Bathsheba. I just want to read a few verses to you because this is David getting right with God. This is him expressing his heart. And we're going to look at his heart tonight. And some things, and we'll put it all together, and we'll have the message. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Key verse in this passage, verse number 4. Against thee only have I sinned. Did he sin against Bathsheba?
No.
Did he sin against Uriah? Not a trick question. He did somewhat, but the ultimate sin was against God. You need to remember that when you act up against somebody, not just that person. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. That's where the problem was. And this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. If there's one character people are familiar with in the Bible besides the Lord Jesus Christ, it's David. I don't know a child in here that has any type of a training in church at all. They know the story about David and Goliath. Many have read David's Psalms. You found great comfort. He's encouraged many Christians who read about his courage and bravery as the king of Israel. If you were to take up and look at your concordance, and I still look at a concordance, I don't look at the computer, you would find out that outside the names for God in that Bible, the name of a human, but outside of God that shows up in that Bible more than any other name is David. His name shows up more than anybody. He's a very important figure in the Bible. Notice this, 1 Samuel 13:14, the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. Man after God's own heart. He said he liked me to make me king over all Israel. You know, there's a lot of people I love that I don't like. God didn't just love this man, he liked him. I don't know if he likes me. I hope he does. God promised him his king would be for a kingdom would be forever. Psalm 89:3-4. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. It's through David's lineage that the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Jesus is referred to as the son of David in the New Testament. He's pretty important, ain't he? There's something about David that's special, but you know what? For me, for a long time, it's been hard to understand that. I've always wondered, why can you read in the Bible that God said, here's a man after my own heart, he's so special, it's through his lineage it comes. And when I read about David, I read about a rascal. I mean, I feel pretty good compared to him. I ain't never cheated on my wife. I hope I have some more amens. Some of you is awfully quiet. I haven't never given an order to a man that was a faithful man by his own hand and sent him out there to die. He's a pretty pitiful daddy. He sinned against his country. He sinned against his people. I'm scratching my head. So maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm out there by myself. I'm scratching my head sometimes to wonder about, man, what do you mean a man after God's own heart? What do you mean a great man? He don't look so great to me. He failed in a lot of areas. So I got to look at that thing. I'm trying to think, man, what is it about David that makes him so good? Why would God think so much of David? Why would God say he's a man after his own heart? I don't know. I don't understand this, Lord. Now, I don't understand everything. Some of you preachers, God may have given you something else on this you can add to the message. I'll tag team you. If Brother Peacock lets you go, you get up here and finish it tomorrow night. I don't know about all that. I know one thing, one outstanding thing about David that you do not see among many people. You don't see it among many Christians. And when I got to looking at this thing, I got to thinking it just come on like a light bulb. I don't know if this is what it is, Lord, but this is something pretty special. This is something about David. I'll tell you what it is. When you look in David's life, there's two times that he really messes up bad. And there's two times that God sends a man of God to point his finger in his face and confront him. He's confronted by Nathan with his sin with Bathsheba. He's confronted by the prophet Gad when he numbers Israel against God's will. And what he does when those men come and rebuke him and put their finger in his face has a lot to tell you about a man who's really after God's own heart. It has a lot to tell you about him and who he really was. And I think the key there, if you want to know what a man after God's own heart is, I think it's a man that can take a rebuke and agree with God. Amen. I'm telling you here tonight, there's nothing else going to be said the rest of these meetings. There's nothing else going to help you. You're not going to grow in your Christian life. You're not going to mature. You're not going to be nothing for the Lord if you can't learn to take a rebuke. And by the way, since I got a bunch of preachers here tonight, you the folks I want to talk to for just a minute. Bless God, some of these preachers around here, they want to get up and get a platform and tell everybody else what to do, but they don't want to hear what they need to do. I'm going to tell you, I know some preachers show up at camp meeting and they'll preach and then walk out while the other preachers are preaching. You ain't got no cotton-picking business preaching to nobody, friend, if you won't listen to preaching yourself. I'm just getting warmed up a little bit and I'm going to try to be nice. That's something I can't stand as a preacher. All he wants is a platform and he wants a position. He wants the spotlight on him. He won't tell everybody else what to do, but he don't want to take no preaching. You know, there's a lot of folks that run their family like that. Have a lot of renegades in the church. Oh, you come home, you want to crack a whip and have your wife bow down and lick your boots and let your children do everything you want to do, but then you go to work and you don't mind your boss. You don't do what your pastor does. You don't want to obey the government. You want everybody to do what you want them to do, but you don't want to do right. Listen, you ain't qualified to look over a goat farm. Amen, brother. That's exactly right. I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to call to preach the Word of God and you can't let somebody preach you and tell you and straighten you out when you need to be straightened out, bless God, you better crawl up here to this altar or get out. You don't deserve to preach to nobody. Whole different atmosphere than from the first message. I'm not going to be sweet. I'm so sorry, but it won't be sweet. Now, I just want to give you four things. This one good thing about this message is going to be very quick. It'll be painful, but it'll be over with pretty quick. Four things, this will be the message. Number one, he doesn't blame anybody else when he's confronted with it. He doesn't play the blame game. He's not like Adam and Eve, you know. That's that woman you gave me, you know. It's that serpent, you know. People want to do that. I got sick and tired of talk shows years ago. I always have a platform when they got somebody up here, someone up here, somebody up here. And every show's alike. It may be a different problem, a different tragedy, but it all comes down to this. Somebody failed me in society. Not you failed me, everybody in society. Let me just tell you something. There comes a time, man. There's probably nobody in here with just maybe just a very few people with an outstanding great childhood. There's probably folks come here from drunkard's home and abuse. You've raised in abuse. You've had all kind of bad things happen to you. Now you can rely on that for a crutch all you want to until you get to the judgment seat. God's going to boot the crutch out from under you. Because you had a better and stronger crutch, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to give you some sob story about how I was raised. I've shared some of that with Dr. Peacock. Brother LeBron, my deacon's here. He can tell you some things. Listen, brother, every man or every woman's got to come to a point in their life where they decide to take responsibility, and you can do right if you want to, or you can choose to do wrong. But I'm telling you, if you feel with the Spirit and you want to do right, you can swing over hell on a rotten cornstalk and say, "Amazing grace." While you're swinging. I don't care how you were raised. I'm tying everybody by my mother, my father. They dropped me through the cracks. The government, the neighbor. You owe me. I guess I'm sick and tired of these kids driving, 16-year-old kids driving around a 2014 vehicle. If that's what you want to do, help yourself. I think it's pitiful for Pawpaw and Mama to have one that's 10 years old and you give that little punk a brand new vehicle. I think that's wrong. Bless God, if they won't want Pawpaw's guy, they ought to work like Pawpaw did. They don't want to work like Papa did. Get out there and do what Papa did before he got to work. He had nothing. Amen. Nothing. Psalm 51, David never blames Bathsheba. I've heard people speculate on that. I don't get into all that. I don't know. You know, she strategically placed herself there. She knew David was looking at her. She did that. You know, I think sometimes people just, especially men, they're just full of lust. They want to try to make some kind of excuse for it. He was the king. He had the control. He summoned her. He had her brought to him. What's he going to do? Tell the king, "I ain't coming? No, I'll kill you." He did it. Here's a man who could have any woman he wanted, but he wanted her. But he doesn't blame someone else. He doesn't get into that, "Well, it's so-and-so's fault, and you just don't understand it." Listen, that's never going to work. And I just get so tired of that sometimes. Why don't you man up tonight and just say, "God, I'm a mess, I'm a zero, I'm a loser." And I'm going to tell you something else, Lord. It ain't nobody's fault but mine. I have repeatedly pulled that pistol out of my holster and cocked that thing and shot my own self in the foot. Amen. Nobody else's fault but mine. Amen. Most help I've ever gotten in my life is when I do that. When I start making excuses, "God ain't going to touch you, ain't going to help you, ain't going to do anything for you." He doesn't blame someone else. He takes the rebuke. He doesn't try to justify it. Number two, he doesn't make any excuses. He could have said what some of you said, "Well, bless God, Bathsheba shouldn't have been down there where I could see her. She knew where I was at. She knew I'd be able to look at her." Or maybe about that thing where he's numbering this, where some of you are really looking at me real strange. I know I changed the tempo, but I know that was real sweet and nice singing up there, but change with me, okay? We're in a different dimension now. All the sweet and happy and praise Jesus and I'm crying and going and all, that's over. We're getting something else down. We're in a totally different deal here. This is me, no Brother Dennis now. What about if I want, you know, most people would say, "Well, you just, I tell you what, you just don't know, guys, you just don't know what it's like to be a king. I'm the one that's got to worry about controlling this country. I'm the one that's got to go out to battle. Man, I need to know how many soldiers I got. And the Philistines are coming. Who knows who's coming? You just don't know how it is to have that weight on you, wondering when I'm going to have to go to battle. And I need to know how many people I've got to go to battle with. That's a pretty good excuse I just made up, wasn't it? That's what it is, it's an excuse. He didn't say, I can't help it. I got somebody in my family that's very precious to me. Every time you try to talk to this particular person about their sin, they just say, well, I just can't help it. I just feel that way. I just do that way. I am that way. I can't help it. David didn't say that. He didn't say that. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm a man and you know how men are. He didn't say that. He didn't say the devil made me do it or something. I won't even preach on that. I hope y'all got more sense than that. That's crazy. He just didn't make any excuses. He doesn't blame someone else. As a matter of fact, point number three, he takes full responsibility. When you go through there, did you read all that we were reading just then? He said, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin my mother conceived me. Man, against thee and thee only have I sinned. I messed up. I was born in sin. I messed up. I mean, from my head to my toes. It's all me. It's all my fault. He didn't jump back in Nathan or Gad's face and say, I tell you what, I'm the king. Bless God, I know what I'll do. I'll put you down there in the dungeon. You won't see daylight for 3 or 4 years. He could have done that. There's kings in that Bible that did that. They did it. He could have said, you ain't going to rebuke me. You ain't going to talk to me like that. You don't know what caliber of man I am. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that. Let me just throw this in for you. Some of you that are members of this church, and some of you that's in the Bible-believing crowd, or some of you that's just being introduced to this type of preaching, some of you that's wandered in here and going, my goodness, man, how did I get in this tonight? You're going to have to get some tough hide to stay in this. You cannot be so sensitive and always worried about what somebody said. Somebody didn't look at me right. My name didn't get put in the bulletin. And what did he mean when he said that? You're going to have to get some tough hide if you're going to be in a Bible-believing church. And you can walk out and go somewhere else, but there's a lot of the truth, a lot of things you're going to miss. And I'm going to tell you, you've got to be tough. You've got to be willing to bear the reproach. Among your family, among your people you work with, among your friends, in your community. You've got to be willing to do that. And one of the key to it is when you have somebody like Brother Peacock that gets up here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and just tells it like it is. Old Joel Osteen will seem more appealing. He blinks and he's so sweet, kind. And he lets his wife preach. I think you'll have a woman's perspective. I bet you do, Jezebel. I just bet you do. He takes full responsibility. You're just going to have to come in here and say, you know what? Sometimes it's going to be rough. Sometimes it's going to be bad. And I'm not going to want to admit to it because I feel like somebody said this, somebody's done that. You just don't know. You don't know where I've been. Man, you're just going to have to get to the point where you're just about like David. Just say, okay, 100% my fault. I've got no excuse. I can't blame anybody for it. I just did it. I did it because I wanted to. I willfully sin with forethought. Premeditated sin. Just walk right into it. And here's one very good important part. He responds in humility to his reaping. He knew he deserved whatever he got. Do you? You know you deserve whatever you get? He didn't blow up against God and say, that's unfair and I don't deserve that. You choose to sin, you get the consequences. That's what a lot of people are messed up on in our society. You do stuff and they think they can come out there and quote 1 John 1:9, the thing's over. No, it's not. Sometimes it's just beginning. Forgiveness is there. I mean, your fellowship is restored with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God for that. But you still got to reap. over the years in my office and counseling sessions, people come to me and say some of the things. I'm like, I want to shake them and say, man, you realize what you're saying? An instance, a fellow cheats on his wife, or a wife cheats on her husband. And they come in there for counsel. How's it going? Well, it's just tough, preacher. You know, now she's just so jealous. She wonders where I'm at all the time. I have to call her. I mean, I know it's been 3 months, you know. I'm like, you fool! You broke her trust! You are a whoremonger! You are an adulterer! You're wicked! She shouldn't trust you! It's not over in 3 months! It may not be over in 6 months! It may take years for her to trust you again! Bear the reproach and bear the consequences of it! Some fella gets off drugs, he's been off 6 months, and wonder why grandma won't trust him around the money anymore. Let me tell you something. 6 months is nothing for a drug addict. How many times have you got off of it, back on, back off of it, back on, back off of it, back on, and ripped your mom off, or ripped your youngins off, or ripped people off, and nobody can trust you? And you go, oh, preacher, I just don't know, man. I've been in church, man. I've been clean for 3 months. Won't nobody trust me? I can't even take up the offering. I know why we won't trust you. It may be 4 or 5 years before we even let you around the plate, brother. You did it. Suck it up, shut up, and take it. That's just the way it is. And that's why, I don't know all, I believe that's why he's a man after God's own heart, because when God sends a man to confront him, he confronted him. He just said, you're right. You're right. I did it. I use this illustration all the time because it's home with me. I think I told you, I don't know if I have or not. This is going to come as a surprise. Some of you are not going to believe it, but I used to play basketball in high school. I know, like a basketball player now, do I? I played all my years in school, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. And about the time I got on varsity, they quit doing it. They used to do that thing there where a fella called a foul, he'd call a foul, then he'd go up there to the fella that's running the horn and the scoreboard and all, you know, 4-3, foul, so-and-so. You know what everybody would do? They'd do this. They'd raise their hand. And you'd walk around that little, I come from a little country school, and they'd pack the gym out with 250, 300 people for homecoming, and kids sitting around the thing. I mean, it was wild. It was like, you ever seen the movie Hoosiers? It was like that. You'd walk around and do that. I noticed by the time I got into varsity and by the time I graduated from high school, you didn't see that no more. I'll tell you what you see. You call a foul. Oh, you didn't see it. I didn't do it. Romp, stomp, cuss. You know what I like in that basketball game too is the game of life. And that referee is a type of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost don't miss any plays. And so when the Holy Ghost blows his heavenly whistle, there's only one response, man. I did it. That's all it's going to make. So y'all sit here and y'all go on and y'all debate tonight. Why was he a man after God's own heart? Why is he in there more than anybody? Why is he going to rule and reign with Jesus in the millennium? Why is Jesus come through him? Why? And the man's an adulterer. He's a murderer. He's not a good father. He disobeys God with a number. All kind of things. Because he's got something that most of us in here ain't got. I pick the right thing about you tonight. I mean the right thing you want to hold on to, brother. You will not respond like him. And you know you won't. I just ain't brought the right thing out. But there's something in there. You won't do it. You're going to excuse it. It's not your fault. You just don't know. It's unfair. It's just not right. And every time David blew it, he blew it big. He just said, I did it. And you know what he did? He kept his mouth shut. And he did not fuss about the consequences. That, my friend, is something about David.
Amen.
Something that none of us really have.
Amen.
Every head bowed and eye closed.